Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, and Pinterest, and also on Google+. And I'm excited to welcome the program from ABC's Dr. Ken. Ken, thanks for calling, and it's great we can chat again. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Ken, let's kind of go. I've been watching your social media and how excited you are. The season has finished, and you had a blast this season filming, haven't you?
Yeah, we just taped our final episode on Tuesday, and it was beyond a dream come true, man. I mean, as you saw on the Twitter and Instagram posts, it's been so surreal, man. I just can't even put in words. I really can't. It's just the greatest. Yeah, really the greatest year of my career.
Oh, it definitely, Ken, and I could just see the way you are able to bring back a lot of your friends on the show and connections that you have in Hollywood. And you like that, too, that have the creative ideas of bringing back comedians that you've worked with before, different things. So it really becomes like a family show, right? I mean, for you.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I think this exemplifies what family comedy is all about, and also bringing friends of mine that, you know, like I've had three of my co-stars from Community, the previous series I worked on, and then to bring people like comedy heroes of mine, like Jeffrey Ross, you know, who was on recently. So it's all these things where just to have a platform to do something based on my life as a doctor and as a father of two, and then to kind of synthesize all of that is an embarrassment of riches in many ways. You're absolutely right.
And it's funny, Dr. Ken. Last week you were wrestling the luchador stuff and all that. I wish I would have got the chats that, because I was a former professional wrestler, Dr. Ken, and I got a kick out of that one for sure. But every week there's a great theme. But this week I like this theme, again, tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, especially with your daughter, trying to reconnect with your daughter. When they get to teen years, and I'll be honest, even 11-year-olds now, it's hard for dads sometimes to connect with their daughters, you know, because they're just constantly focused on other things. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have twin daughters right now. They're 8 years old, about to be nine, and I definitely see that coming. And, yeah, you know, kids grow up so quick these days, and this is my favorite Ken-Molly episode, where Ken takes Molly and her girlfriends to an Emblem 3 concert just to try to reconnect with his daughter, who he feels like is slipping away from him. And as familiar as that theme sounds, it really resonates because it felt real while doing it, and it did feel like I was talking to my daughters at some point, and it's easily one of my favorite episodes all year, and it's definitely easily my favorite Ken Molly episode. And Molly, my daughter, my TV daughter, brilliantly played by Krista Mariu, she just nails it, and you just really, there's some amazing moments where, like, her character just wants me to go away, and I really feel the pain. I felt like it was as if my daughters were talking to me, and it was really cool. And Emblem 3, they, you know, so they're also appearing in the show, and it's just it's a great show. And there, and also on one of the other subplots is dealing with Pat, played by Dave Foley, and Damona, played by Tisha Campbell Martin, and you kind of see a new turn in their little romantic fling that they've had.
And I want to touch upon this, Dr. Ken, because I saw one of your Facebook posts where you had your TV family versus your real family. And that's really funny.
Yeah.
That was really cool, the similarities of those two. And you're really on social media. You know how important it is to connect with your fans. But I think that we have to understand it's harder for dads to understand daughters than it is to understand sons. I have three girls of my own and two boys, and the two boys are the youngest. And I just see, at times, I just don't get it. So I think that's what's great about the show is you're showing, you know, times it's the dads just want to protect their daughters and they just don't understand that they're putting their foot in their mouth and they're causing them more problems than really they are.
Oh, I absolutely think so, because the father will instinctively you know, treat their daughters way differently than their sons. And yeah, and I think there is a tendency to either overconnect, overcompensate, over anything, you know, with their daughters, because there's more of an inability to relate at times, and that that definitely generates more problems. Absolutely.
And then that's the whole deep feelings process that we as men don't get, is we always want to fix things. And you can't fix it with girls, and you can't fix it with your wives or girlfriends. Or you're in trouble.
Exactly. Just being a control freak about things, absolutely. For me, at least, yeah.
And as your character, it is definitely a control freak. Would you consider the character you play on TV almost the same as the one you character you play at home?
I think that I'm in real life, I'm less of a control freak because I'm aware when I'm acting like that, so then I'll stop. But on TV, my character has no awareness, no self-awareness. So I think self-awareness causes people to stop whatever behaviors that they have. But Ken Park, my character, has no awareness at all.
Oh, and that's where you see the Ken Jeong that we all know and love from Community, The Hangover, and all these other things, the comedian, and then put the family atmosphere, and what a great show. Best place we can connect you again tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Everyone needs to tune in to Dr. Ken's episode. And where can we find info on you? Where can we go the best place to connect with you?
Oh, on Twitter, at Ken Jeong, or on Facebook, at Ken Jeong, yeah.
All right, well, Dr. Ken, thanks for calling. Best of luck to you, and I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for all the love, and have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care. Thanks again. Bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter, on Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity John Taffer, star of Spike TV's top-rated series, Bar Rescue. John, thanks for calling, and how are you? How are you doing, John? Just waiting for John to get back on the line.
John will be back on the line in 1 second.
Okay, thank you. So we're just waiting on John Taffer to come on and talk about his show again on Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and forward to the conversation and learning more about what he is doing and the latest episodes coming up. So just waiting on that, and then we'll be able to go again. You can check me out, all my information on Twitter at Total Tutor. A lot of interesting guests this week. You just got to follow me on all different social media sites to wait on that. So we're just waiting for John to get back on the line. The call was dropped. So let's just see what's going on. Once we have John back on the line, we'll let you know, and then we'll be going live. Hi, everyone, and we're back live, and I think we do have John Taffer on the line. John, are you on the line?
I am here, Neil.
Oh, great. I'm happy to have you finally on the line. Again, we have the star of Spike TV's top-rated series, Bar Rescue. John, it's been I've heard so much about your show, but it must be a whirlwind to think about where you started and how successful the show has been so far for you.
Oh, it's amazing. I thought I was going to do a pilot and go home, Neil. I never thought. You know, tonight we have in New York City our 100th episode party. And that 100th episode airs Sunday. It's incredible when I look back at over 100 bars we've done now. I couldn't even name them all.
Wow. And how did you get started in this bar scene, starting bars and stuff like that?
Well,
how did that start for you?
I went to college in Denver and just started attending bar while I was in college studying political science. And, you know, fell in love with the bar business and been in it ever since. You know, sort of wasn't something I planned.
Exactly. And so in that process, how did you kind of get hooked up into the reality stuff? I'm sure you were running bars and having great success. Who came to you, or did somebody come tell us that story?
Yeah, actually, I was giving a speech at a convention, And somebody came up to me and said, "You got to be on TV, man." And I took it to heart. I wrote something up, brought it to a friend of mine who was an executive at Paramount Television. He sat me down. He said, "Look, John, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You will never be on television." He goes, "You'll just never be on TV. You don't have the right profile for it at all." And then I really took it as a vendetta. So I spent my own money, went, shot a sizzle reel, which was about 3 minutes of me screaming and yelling at people, pretty much, and brought it to five different production companies and got four offers. Signed with one company, and Spike picked up the show 4 days later. And in under a year from when that guy said to me, "You should be on TV," the series actually premiered. It happened very quickly.
What do you think the success of the show? Is it because everyone knows about how crazy bars are and how it's something that people enjoy going to bar restaurants? And the situation is, what do you think? It's your craziness and who you are? Do you think it's just the having to fix up these bars and save them? What do you think makes the success of the show?
Well, you know, TV is researched heavily, and, you know, the network has focus groups and all sorts of stuff they do. You know, I think there's two things. I think, one, we will all relate to bars. So
okay.
The backdrop
yes.
of the show is, you know, is very relatable to us. At some moment in time, I'm guessing there was a minute in your life, Neil, when you said to yourself, you know, maybe I should own a bar. We've all had those moments and
yes.
thought about that. The other element is it's really a human drama. You know, somebody in trouble. You know, they resist change, they fight back, they transform themselves, redeem themselves. It's almost Shakespearean in a sense, but it's very classic storytelling in that it, you know, it's human resolution. And we connect with that, and it's extremely emotional to watch the changes that these people go through on the show. And I think we emotionally connect with it. In a backdrop of bars that's very familiar to us, and it resonates.
And I agree with you, resonate. Everyone wants to own a bar at one point in time, but everyone has been in a bar. Everyone has lived the bar scene at one point in their college years or 30s or 20s. I was a bouncer, John, so I was a former professional wrestler, and I was a bouncer, so I lived in bars in specific aspects, so I know exactly what the bar scene's like. So I can't wait to check out the show because, again, you never know what you're going to see in a bar. It's the most entertaining place. I remember the days of going to bars in Memphis, Tennessee, John, where it's open all night. Or then you go to
yep.
Arkansas where it closes at 1 o'clock, or Ohio it closes at 1, or Pittsburgh, too.
Yep.
So you just never know what's going to happen in a bar.
That's right. And you know, the different demographic groups, the different music types creates a completely different crowd. You know, Monday night for football can be completely different than Friday night.
Yes.
So even the same bar can be completely different night to night. And that's what makes this business so exciting, though. Don't you agree, Neil?
I agree. And I mean, and that's where I met my wife at a bar. So well, we say that on live TV. I was bouncing at a dueling pianos bar. And met her there, and the rest was history, for sure. But I definitely understand that. And then, did you write the book, John, after the show, or did you write the book before the show?
I wrote the show during the book during the first year of the show. So the book came out now about a year and a half ago, and it did very well. Made the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. And really, the book picks apart, you know, the management style and a lot of the lessons that I've learned. And, you know, Neil, it's interesting. I've learned more during my 100 episodes of Bar Rescue about failure than I've learned about success during my 30 years of the business. And the education about failure has meant more to me than the education about success. It's a fascinating experience to go through, to see people in this depth of failure. I mean, unbelievable
exactly.
depths of failure. In real business, you don't see that because they couldn't afford to buy me lunch, nonetheless, get me there. So it really exposes me to something that few business people are ever exposed to.
Right, and that helps you become a better business person because you didn't want to make mistakes. That's why you were successful, but you made some. But then you see the people that you're rescuing, and you're like, wow, they're making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, maybe I
yeah.
should have thought about that, and then I learned from that. And then then you're able to
yeah.
resurrect them and see the success. I'm sure out of all the episodes, you stay in touch with a lot of the people that you've rescued, haven't you? and helped out.
Oh, I do. I do. We have our 100th episode party tonight in New York, and a whole bunch of them will be there. But, yeah, I keep very close to a bunch of them. And you know, if they want to keep close to me, then I'm available to them, Neil. And I let them determine how they'd like that relationship to be. And I'm close with probably half of them.
All right. So
you know, there's a connection that happens
There's
a connection that happens when we're there that's deep. And you know, it lasts for a lifetime. There's no question about it.
All right. The 100th episode will be Sunday, 9 p.m., 8 Central on Spike TV. Best place to find information on you, John. Where can we go?
JohnTaffer.com. JohnTaffer.com.
And is there something special that's going to be, John, on that show? What are we going to see that on the 100th episode? Give us a clue, one quick thing that we're going to see.
First of all, it's one of the only dual bars that we've ever done. So it's two completely different businesses in the same bar. And
awesome.
It's a pretty darn intense episode. It'll be one of your favorites, my guess is, Neil.
All right, well, John, thanks for calling. Hope we get to connect sometime through the bar scene or wherever we're at. You're in Pittsburgh. Let's have a drink sometime when you're in Pittsburgh, okay?
We'll do, buddy. We'll go to an Eaton Park.
that's perfect. Okay, good talking to you, John. Best of luck.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
See ya. Okay, bye-bye. That was the Total Celebrity Show. We'll be live soon. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome to the program SAG Award winner and Critics' Choice Award winner, Lorraine Toussaint. She's going to be discussing the season premiere of Fox TV's Rosewood. Lorraine, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Lorraine, you must be blown away, especially with the awards and everything, of how you've had success as an actress. Wouldn't you agree? Some of the things you've been able to accomplish in your career.
Well, you know, it's always nice when you certainly get some critical acclaim and you know, a bit of validation from peers and fellow industry members. That's always lovely. Absolutely. The thing that's really kind of exciting now also is the kind of work that is coming my way. A few more choices, and I'm at a point in my career now where I'm really much braver than I was in my 20s and 30s, where, you know, much more willing to kind of drop trowel and just be out there a little bit. And that makes it more fun. That makes me feel braver. And then I get to surprise myself in the work, which is, I think, the best feeling ever, is when I don't quite know what I'm going to be doing, and then something shows up, and I go, oh, wow, I had no idea that was going to happen. So that's fun.
Absolutely. And you see these new projects come up, and you say, I like this. This is a great thing. So tell us about your character, Donna Rosewood, and then you can tell me a little bit about Rosewood, the show, as well, throughout this conversation.
Oh, sure. You know, Rosewood is a procedural drama with a very heavy family drama also attached to it, because it's a family-run business. Rosewood is a private pathologist and private ME. And so I never knew that, but if you have someone in your... someone dies and you don't like the judgment of the city or the state, you can actually hire a private medical examiner and have your own a private opinion. And so I had no idea that this was as popular as it is. And so that's what we do, and it's a family-run business. And so with our show, every week there's a body and a really fun crime to be solved, because the lead, Morris Chestnut, who plays Rosewood, has a very particular relationship with death, because he's basically dying. He was born a preemie, and he's really a ticking bomb. We don't know how much time he actually has, so he lives hard, he lives full out, and yet still he's afraid to connect. But consequently, he has a really interesting relationship to death and can see things in bodies that most people can't. Having said that, I play the matriarch of this family. And in the first half of the season, I've retired from my job, divorced my children's father, the Rosewood Senior. And in the second half, you begin to see my character floundering a bit, trying to find her way after 26 years in a marriage and in a job. She's having a real midlife crisis, which is, I love playing that because unlike this mother is kind and loving and supportive, and she actually does not eat her children. And so that's a nice mom to play.
Yes, so you get a variety of different characters. You talked about in Orange is the New Black and things like that. Now you get into this character where you're a professional businesswoman, you're having the success with your whole family, and you're seeing that, but you also see there's a dark side to this too, because anyone who is examining hiring your own private one, there has to be some sort of underhanded things happening at times. Think about specifically the Blue Wire, the medical examiners, in the real world of news nowadays, that, you know, okay, how was this person shot, or how was this person killed, or, you know, all these things. So it definitely could become a little tricky at times, and that's probably what makes very interesting the show.
When it's deemed a suicide in the family, you know, when your husband is supposedly has committed suicide, and you're so sure in your gut that could not happen. Something's wrong.
Yes.
You know, so many of the people that come to Rosewood just in their gut feel like there's something wrong. And he is able to, he takes those gut feelings really seriously, as we all should, but certainly don't in when it comes to, you know, it's the police or judges or attorneys. But he does, and he loves to take on the underdog. And so comes a really interesting investigation, sometimes starting from such a small thing as a gut feeling or something is a little bit awful. Why does that look like that? It shouldn't look like that. And then this whole drama unfolds because of those tiny points sometimes. I find the cases themselves fascinating.
Yes. You definitely find it, and you've been involved in a lot of crime, Lorraine. You know, Orange is the New Black. You're a prisoner now. You're involved in the medical, so something that is involving some sort of violence or some sort of thing. So, those have been some of your roles lately. Do you like that? Do you like that you're seeing the drama that's involved in some of the stuff you're doing?
You know, it's some of the things that I'm doing on television, but, you know, I just finished, I just came back from Sundance, where we premiered the Sundance Festival with a really sweet indie film called Sophie and the Rising Sun, where I play, it's set in the 1940s in the South, and I play a jazz singer who's come back home and has taken a job as a maid in the 1940s. And so it's, that's not at all connected to any sort of procedural dramas. But on television, I seem to be large and in charge. You know what I mean? I kind of come with this thing that makes me be the boss of people. I wish I were the boss in my own house, you know, but I'm so not. I know what you mean, but I kind of do other things outside of television too, yeah.
Exactly, and this is your characters are definitely not based on yourself, I could tell, Lorraine, so a little bit.
Absolutely, and listen, I just started a website even, a lifestyle website
that talks about how to live lovely.
It's called Everyday Lovely by Lorraine, and you can find it at everydaylovelybylorraine.com. It's about the fact that life is so short, and given a choice, why not make every day lovely? And it talks about the ways in which I have pursued lovely in my life.
That's fantastic, Lorraine. And also, you have another film coming up this summer, too. Am I correct? Another film coming out this summer?
That's Sophie and the Rising Sun. Yes, we've gotten to distribution, and that's going to be. And I've gotten, and there's another rap film that's coming out that, I'm not sure what, they've changed the title so many times, but I think it's still called Coco.
Well, you got to check you out at your website. Where can we find information on you? Remember, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, Rosewood, the season premiere on Fox. And information we can find on you, where can we go, like social media also and all that stuff?
I think you'll find The Real Lorraine on Everyday Lovely by Lorraine. It's really a very candid, I let you into the inside of who I am and where I live and how I live. So if you're interested in me, that's where you find me.
Oh, we got to be interested in you, and I'm sure you're trying to get connected through all the different things that are available at your website.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, Twitter and Instagram, absolutely. It's all there connected. There are all sorts of buttons to push that take you straight to my social media.
All right, Lorraine, best of luck. Thanks for calling, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All right. You're listening to the Celebrity Show, and we'll be back. Bye-bye. In just a moment. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out at Total Tutor, and this is part two. I had a great conversation Friday morning preparing us for the Oscars, so I'm excited to welcome the program from E! News and E! Online, Mark Malkin. Mark, thanks for calling, and I tell you, the Oscars were unbelievable yesterday, weren't they?
They really were. I mean, it's all about the opening monologue, and Chris Rock nailed it. He did it perfectly. It was the perfect tone of funny, serious, made people uncomfortable, but also entertained all of us.
Yeah, I was very impressed by how well Chris Rock hosted the event and really presented it, but also was entertaining as well. It was controversial, but entertaining as well.
Yeah, it really was the perfect tone. You know, people, I have to tell you, going into the theater, people were nervous. People were like, how is this going to go? Is he going to just skewer us, you know, so badly? So literally as the show was starting, you could tell people, like, we're holding their breath. And as soon as he started, everyone's like, okay, we're going to be okay.
and I think it is because he's so good at entertaining. And he was able to make people,
yeah, and that, listen, and that's what the host is there for. In the end, that's what the host is there for. He's there to entertain. He or she is there to entertain. That's what Chris Rock did. You know, was everything perfect? No. The Stacey Dash thing didn't work. No one knew what was going on. It still kind of baffles people. But you know what? Not everything's going to go perfectly. But in that imperfection, I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, most definitely. And you got to keep them entertained in that long period of time for sure. Well, best film, well, were you blown away with the upset? Did you think this was going to happen?
You know, I thought it was going to be The Revenant, but I don't think it was a true upset because, you know, it was really coming down to the wire where people were deciding whether it was going to be Spotlight, Big Short, or The Revenant. You know, going into it, I think most people were thinking The Revenant. I know, you know, there were some people who were still saying Spotlight. Very interesting that they split it where, you know, The Revenant got Best Director but not Best Picture. Spotlight got Best Picture but not Best Director.
Mad Max shocked me. I did not know how it was going to take so many awards last night. That was another.
I'm not that shocked because they were all below the line technical behind-the-scenes awards. You know, I love that movie. I think it was for sure one of the best pictures of the year. But when you look at the awards they got, it made total sense for this movie. You know, they were all these tech awards, and this movie was phenomenal. So, you know, Mad Max is having a very happy night. Hopefully, you know, they'll officially announce tomorrow or the next day that Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy will be back for Mad Max 2.
that's definitely a hope. Now, looking at another one of the interesting nights is the performance by Lady Gaga. That was just
Lady Gaga,
really
that,
just moving. Yeah.
That was just beyond me. I mean, I was in tears. I think most of the audience was in tears. We knew it was going to be a great performance, but she really, you know, moved us, you know, with the survivors at the end. I don't think people expected that. So it was really a beautiful moment. You know, and the survivors, you know, after they left the stage, they were out in the lobby watching the screens to see if the song would win. You know, it didn't win, but I still think, you know, that performance gave it attention like, you know, no other performance.
It definitely did, and I think that the whole thing with the vice president coming out, and then Lady Gaga, and then to have the survivors out there, it just again brought another part of this whole night, this Oscars. There was controversy, but there was also a great way to really speak out about certain things and have the platform to do it. And that's what
yeah, the and here Oscar and night here's is. You know, in the end, what you know, what last night showed, I think, is the power of filmmaking. That it really does have the power to get you to think, to get you to talk, and most important, gets people to change. And that's what I think really last night is about, to show the power of filmmaking.
What did you like best? We talked about a bunch of different things. What would you say another thing that was a highlight of your night?
You know, I have to say Chris Rock was one of the highlights. Lady Gaga's performance was one of the highlights. You know, I also love seeing Leonardo DiCaprio win. It wasn't a surprise. We all knew
right.
he was going to win. But still, you know, this is the final award of a very long, very dissected award season. So to see him get up there, to see everyone stand, you know, it was a really thrilling moment. Not so thrilling for Sylvester Stallone, though. That was a big upset. Everyone thought Sylvester Stallone had that Oscar and he was going to win an Oscar, and he didn't. Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies came in and took it from him.
And were you that was a surprise for you for sure? You thought Stallone was
complete
going.
Surprise when that happened. Everyone just went, "What?" Everyone was completely surprised. I think Sylvester Stallone went into the night thinking, and I was saying it by you know the end of Sunday night, it was going to be Oscar winner Sylvester Stallone. It didn't happen.
What was your best interview before the event? What would you say?
You know, I had some real fun ones. Talking to Olivia Munn, she's absolutely great. You know, and as we know, she dates, you know, football pro Aaron Rodgers, who is by her side. She said it was the best thing ever to have him there at events like that because it really calms her. Olivia's always so sweet. She looks stunning. Charlize Theron looked unreal, amazing. I asked her, I said, when are we getting that Mad Max sequel? And she said, you got to ask that guy over there. And that guy over there was the director, George Miller.
Wow, and now you had all the coffee to make it through the awards ceremony. Now, what's next for Mark? You're going to relax for a second after all this hubbub and all the stuff got died
I'm gonna
down?
I'm going to relax, hopefully, for a few minutes, and then probably, you know, next month I'll be heading to South by Southwest, and then maybe a little vacation. We'll see.
All right, best place to find info on you, Mark. Again, we can see you on eonline.com, e-news, and then also e-news. Where's the best place we can find info
you
on
you? Got it.
All right,
you find
perfect,
me, and
Mark.
You find me everywhere on social media.
Absolutely, Mark. Thanks for calling, and best of luck to you.
Have a good one.
You too. Take care. All right, bye-bye. All right, that was Total Celebrity Show, everybody.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can check me out on Twitter at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, link in Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, and on Periscope at Total Tutor. And I'm excited to welcome the program. He played Damien in Mean Girls, and he's doing so much more. I'm excited to welcome the program celebrity Daniel Francier. Daniel, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm good. I can give you a hand with pronouncing my last name. RuPaul taught me this.
Okay.
It's like, I don't have my own air conditioner. I need to borrow my friend's AC.
Okay. So, friend's AC. Okay. See, I fouled it up, Daniel. I was practicing it, and then when it came to live, I fouled up. I apologize. But, you know, we'll have a fun conversation, Daniel. And, you know, you can believe the ride of the days of Mean Girls to now and all the amazing things you have going on. It's so great that you have been able to continue to evolve in your career. Wouldn't you agree?
Thanks. I mean, it's been so much fun. I can't believe what Mean Girls has turned out to be.
Oh yeah. I mean, and from that to, you know, reinventing to all this awesome stuff going on in projects. But tell us the story how that Mean Girls thing happened. How did you get that audition and stuff?
Well, I knew the New York casting director, Susan Schottmaker. She had cast me in Party Monster, and they called me in. I waited in the lobby, and Amanda Seyfried was about to go in and read for Regina, and she was trying to decide between like a maroon t-shirt and a tan t-shirt. And I leaned over Tina Fey's shoulder and I was like, I would go with the Merlot. and she just cracked up. And then when I came into the room, she thought I worked at the casting agency. She's like, you, we love you. You know, like I'm glad you're auditioning. Now I'm excited. And apparently, according to the E! True Hollywood story, my audition wasn't that good. But later on, they flew me out to do the table read anyway. And I nailed it at the table read.
So, wow, right play, luck in a way of just how you were able to break the ice. And then finally at the table read, you got it. So very, very interesting. And working with that, you never knew that what Mean Girls would become, right, as a movie. And everyone talking about it for years to come, for sure.
No, I mean, I think with every project that I have ever done, you always hope that it would do well and that people would understand it and get it. And we certainly had those feelings about this one, but who knew that it would turn out to be such a crazy, iconic thing for so many people.
Crazy, iconic, and it's something that, you know, people to be talking about for so much time. So before, Daniel, that opportunity you had in Mean Girls, what was your first acting experience? Tell us about that.
Well, I always like to say that I started on, my grandfather had 12 brothers, so I lived on the same block in Brooklyn. And every time I learned my ABCs or something, I'd be on everybody's coffee table. So I always say that I always worked on the coffee table circuit in Brooklyn. That was my first gig. But I think my first, besides some theater and stuff, my first really big professional big break was landing a role in Larry Clark's film Bully. He had done Kids, and I was a big fan of Kids, and they were scouting locations in the club, and I met the casting director, and they had me come in and read, and I got my first lead role in a movie.
And there you go, right? You have that opportunity. Doing a few things, and you get a lead role. I mean, that's got to be amazing for you to think about how quickly, when some people...
It was. I had done other acting gigs, but I had never really even auditioned for film or even held a screenplay, and I got a lead role in a movie. It was kind of incredible.
What do you think the reason is, Daniel, for, I guess, you know, the opportunity with Mean Girls and different things? Is it the way you get along with cast and when you read and certain things that people say, you know what, I like this guy? And that's important in acting, isn't it, for the people to get along, the cast to have a good relationship and also the directors and all that, yeah.
I definitely think it helps when we all get along. I mean, there's a lot of really different types of personalities in Hollywood. You know, there's no shortage of jerks or divas. But when people do get along and things work smoothly, I definitely think it adds to a healthy work environment and makes the movie better. Although there's been projects that I've done where everybody gets along and loves each other, and then the final product turns out horrible. So you never really know what the proper chemistry is for a classic.
And the proper chemistry. And would you say, from starting where you started in your career and stuff like that, that you want to understand all forms of this genre, not just acting, but also directing and producing and looking at all the different lenses of this business?
Sure. What's interesting as an actor, you know, I started as a theater actor. When you're a theater actor, a lot is reliant on you. At the end of the day, no matter what your direction is or what is written, you know, you try to stay as close to those things as possible. But when you're on stage, it's really, it's reliant on you to give a lot of the aesthetics. But when you're in film and television, you're relying on a lot of other people's taste levels. You're relying on the director. You're relying on the editor. You're relying on the DP. You're relying on the studios and execs and producers who are making final decisions to decide what the final product is. So I think after having a long career in film and television, that now as I move on, I definitely want more and more control of some of those other aesthetics. So the product that I initially set out to put out there has more of my stamp on it.
And I think what helps, Daniel, is the way things have changed. This business used to be, you know, the major, you didn't need major money major to run a project. There was only a few opportunities, but now with independent film and all these other opportunities, it changes the ball game. You know, even from, let's say, even web series.
Yeah, even reality. Yeah. I mean, there's tons of people that are famous for nothing now.
Right. But I'm sure as a talented actor as yourself, you don't want to ever be, or you think you're ever going to jump into that realm of reality TV?
Not as a reality star. I mean, if I found a really cool idea of something to produce or something, I might consider it. But I don't really want, you know, to sell my personal life. I'm more interested in creating characters.
Very, very interesting. Okay. So let's go into two of your major projects. First, the critically acclaimed HBO show Looking, and then we'll go into your show currently on ABC Freeform, Recovery Road. Let's first go into Looking.
Looking was an amazing experience. I'm really I'm upset that we ended up getting canceled, but I'm very happy with all of the amazing things that came out of it. Me playing one of the first HIV positive character on television in several years, and with a first show to talk about the PrEP drug that stops the transmission of HIV. I mean, important information we were getting out there, as well as entertaining. I also think it was nice to see a bigger guy, especially on a gay show, be seen in a sexual way instead of him being a castrated comic relief.
Right.
I think we accomplished a lot. I accomplished a lot being on that show and had a great time. And those are excellent, excellent, wonderful people to work with. And I'm really excited about the movie that we have coming out later this year.
And tell us about that movie.
Well, luckily, even though we were canceled and HBO was gracious enough to give us a finale special. So we're going to be doing around a 2-hour series finale special. So we just filmed it this fall, and they're putting the finishing touches on it now.
And what you're hoping for, Daniel, in that way is, again, how certain products breathe a life after it's run on TV and stuff, like, you know, the opportunities in Netflix, the opportunities of different ways of distributing it. That's the nice thing about, again, also things that might at first not took off on the traditional means. You guys have the opportunity to promote this and share it for longer periods of time, for sure.
Right. It becomes part of the HBO library. And now that HBO has expanded to HBO Now, which is like a subscription-based service where you don't have to have HBO to buy their shows, and they have HBO Go for the people who do have it, I think it's going to be seen by a much wider audience. I mean, I already experienced that being a guest star on the original season of The Comeback and then seeing the second season materialize 10 years later. There's really no telling what could happen in today's era of digital viewing, what could happen with the longevity of a series. But I think that it is going to certainly live on in the HBO library as an amazing entity, because it was a beautiful show.
And you're getting the 2-hour thing is a good way to finish that up. And when did you say that date that it's going to air? Have they announced it yet for the 2 hours?
No, they don't have a release. They don't have a release date set yet. They're still working on some of the posts.
That's always the interesting thing, Daniel, isn't it? You're informed, then you'll have 1 week to promote it, right? When you least expect it, they'll say, oh, the 2-hour thing's going to happen now. Okay, let's all run together. Where can I go to tweet it out or do whatever?
The more nerve-wracking part is when they approached me and they told me they were going to write this role for me and cast me, I had to wait months and months and months before I could even tell anybody I was going to be on that show.
Oh, jeez.
That's like the weirdest thing. Like you can't even tell people certain. I mean, I have several projects now that I worked on that I can't even talk about, and I always think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I know not to ask about him, Daniel. I have a good friend of mine, Kat Kramer, and always when she has all these different projects she talks about, she comes back and she says, I can't say anything more, Neil. And I'm like, oh, okay, Kat. We'll catch up next month.
I know.
Yeah, Kat and I do like regular, I interview her like every other month about all the different projects she's doing, you know, about Stanley Kramer and some of the other, her one-woman show and all those things. She's awesome. She's really a nice woman.
Yeah, It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World is one of my favorite movies of all time.
And she really educates me in some of the older stuff, you know, that Stanley did. And I'm like, okay. And you know how much of a Stones fan she is, Rolling Stones. Oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. She just chats it up all the time, for sure. All right, let's kind of jump into Recovery Road now, that's on ABC Freeform. Talk about that a little bit.
And it's actually called Freeform, which is the new name for ABC Family. And it's a show about a young girl named Maddie who's 17 years old, and she's in a private school, and she gets caught drinking and doing drugs and makes a deal with the guidance counselor that they won't expel her if she lives her nights and weekends in a sober living facility. So she spends her time at school, and then when she's done with school, she goes and lives in a sober living facility with adults, of which I play one. I play Vern, who's sort of the papa bear of the house, and he is a recovering cocaine addict who was a dancer and lost his mojo.
Okay. All right. Interesting. And so the role in the way of looking at somebody who is in that mode where this is their last case scenario, have you lived that with any of your friends in your life or different people that you've seen that situation where they're rock bottom with and need to recover through drugs or alcohol or possibly depression?
I mean, certainly. Yeah. I lost my first movie, Bully, that I was telling you about, I lost my friend Brad Renfro. He died of an overdose, and I've famously worked with many people that are in recovery, from, you know, Lindsay Lohan to Eddie Furlong, people who have always, you know, who have, in the public eye, have been going through recovery. So I'm no stranger to seeing that happen. Literally, I've worked with tons of people, even Carrie Fisher. I mean, just that have all dealt with the way Hollywood and drugs and alcohol can kind of interfere. So I think it's nice that, you know, we've seen tons of movies where they show the glamorous side of teens drinking and partying, and then we've seen stuff that show downward spirals. But it's really nice to see a group of people in recovery and what that means and what it means. It's the first show I know of ever that shows that side of drugs and alcohol.
And that there's a possibility to recover, right, Daniel? Because a lot of times we all think when we go through these modes that, they always go back to recovery. It'd be great to know we have these success stories that they were able to finally break through. And I think that's the key thing, that people that are in that inner circle of that person who's recovering from drugs, alcohol, or dealing with depression, anxiety, whatever it is, that there are people that are willing to be there for them, right? Because that's one of the big things, is for their loved ones to stay with them regardless of what's going on with them, right?
And to create an alternative family of people that are a support group for you. Because, you know, it is hard to go at it alone. And there are a lot of other people out there that are health people that want to be in recovery.
And see, that's the point that I think that what Freeform is able to bring to the table is, now people are going to have these discussions about, well, you know, it's not terrible to hear that you're sending your daughter or son to recovery, just so, because that's the only way you're going to get through this. You could tell them, no, you shouldn't do this over and over again. Look at the amount of heroin users out there now, and the scariness of how to stop that recovery, or other types of drugs that parents have to understand. This is something you're going to deal with now. And at times you could try everything you can, Daniel, everything. You know, keep them away from the people, be that advice. It's just, there's something in some of their brains that they're attracted to it, right? And it's just that there's nothing you could do except be there for them.
Yeah, it's a disease that people deal with. Yeah, definitely.
Think about that, brain disease.
It can be genetic. I mean, there's a lot of things that people are up against that battle with addiction.
And that's why that makes you happy about that part of the show, that you can bring that out there to people and say, tell them to do that. And what time is that show on? Is there a specific time for Recovery Road?
It's on Mondays at 9 after the Fosters on Freeform.
Okay. So Mondays at 9, and we have to get used to it. No longer ABC Family, Freeform. I've interviewed a few other people for projects and stuff like that, and it's great to have these other projects to promote and different things, and give those people that knowledge and opportunity. So what are the projects that are going on with you right now, Daniel, that you can discuss?
Well, I'm putting the finishing touches on a movie called Mind Puppets, which is a comedy about five people who get hypnotized, and then the hypnotist has a heart attack, and we get stuck in our trance.
Oh my!
And I play a man who thinks he's a pregnant woman. And then I have tons of other little surprises here and there, coming up on different networks, and doing fun stuff. Nothing I can really talk about just yet, but I'm very excited about everyone seeing all of this stuff before summer's over.
And what I think, and then I think that the thing, key places for the people to have to do is they have to connect to you via social media, because social media will be able to tell you the updates is live as they speak. When you can announce it,
exactly,
you're on social media doing it, aren't you?
Yep. Absolutely. At What's Up Danny, you can find me on Instagram, Tumblr, Snapchat, Twitter, and then I have a verified Facebook account, which I post all of my different live events, things like that. And you can even catch me doing some fun videos and stuff on YouTube at MyMyMyTube.
Isn't it amazing how you can, even if you're in between gigs or different opportunities, you can constantly promote, which people couldn't do 20 years ago. And do those things.
Create.
Yeah. Create.
When I feel like there's any kind of lull or a moment, I'll pop up a YouTube video or something, or get involved in someone else's YouTube channel. I think that there's so much opportunity nowadays to stay creative and stay busy.
Okay. All right. So all those places, let's go right through the places we can connect with you and find out more information. And you got to update me via social media when other things happen. Best, you have a website too, Daniel, for people to connect with you?
No, I don't really have a website. Just mostly my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I think, covers all aspects.
And then you'll have to tweet me out when you let me know when Looking's two-hour finale comes out, the film. And then remember, Freeform, Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, right? Freeform, Recovery Road, correct?
Right, Recovery Road on Freeform, Mondays at 9 p.m.
All right, well, thanks for calling, Daniel, and best of luck to you.
Great to talk to you. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+. And also on Periscope at TotalTutor. I really like this show on NBC, so I'm excited to welcome the program from NBC Superstore, Ben Feldman. Ben,
how's
thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you play Jonah, and I just laugh all the time when I watch the show. It's so funny. It reminds me of, you know, going to the superstores and what kind of craziness you'll see, for sure.
It's surreal. It's changed my experience going to these stores. Like, I feel like I were, you know, I can't go to a Target or went to Bed Bath & Beyond last night. I walk into these places and I start stressing because I feel like I'm at work and I'm late.
Well, I mean, it's because you're playing the character so well. Now, tell us about your character, Jonah. Jonah, I mean, you get so much of the storyline in so many ways, and yet somehow you don't belong at the superstore in certain aspects. Explain, maybe overqualified in certain aspects. Tell a little bit about your character.
Yeah, he definitely he doesn't fit in with the rest of the group. He's kind of got this, he's sort of got this elitist, you know, big city, almost sometimes obnoxious kind of a vibe to him. But in other ways, he's sort of the biggest bumbling idiot out of the group at the same time. So it's kind of a wash. But yeah, he comes from a different place, I think, than everybody else.
And he's learning so much about different cultures, different backgrounds in working at the store, isn't he, Ben?
Yeah, he is. It's funny. I'm you know, people ask all the time, like, did I need any experience working in any of these stores or this kind of, but I'm learning at the same time that Jonah is, so I kind of feel like him a whole bunch as well. Plus, most of the jokes making fun of him are really just the writers of our show in a room making fun of me and writing it down on paper. So I feel like I'm very much living the exact same experience Jonah is.
Definitely, Ben, and I was talking to Mark McKinney about it, and he said the same thing about basically like how great the show is and how the cast is gelling together for sure too. And tell us a little bit about that opportunity to work with the cast that you have.
You know, you're always worried going into one of these kind of situations. You don't know if everybody's going to get along, or you know, there's always going to be some idiot in the group that spoils it for everybody else. But we don't have any of those issues on this show. It's a really, really great group of people. Everyone's become really, really good friends. We hang out way more than we need to. We all went to Vegas the second second the show wrapped together and with all the writers and had a great trip to get, like, we vacationed well together. It's a really good group.
Well, that's the fun part about it is it's a good group that you get along with. And I think that one of the things I think is the funniest about the show is not just the storyline in between the storyline. What is up with those little, like, parts that they show a clip before a clip where you just have to really pay attention?
We call those interstitials, and you know, on a lot of shows, if you watch a normal show, in between scenes, they'll cut to, like, an exterior shot of the house or of the store or wherever it is, you know, a shot of the sky or something like that to show time passing or that this is a different moment. And we do those instead, and I think it's one of, I agree, I think it's one of the most special things about this show. It's one of the, there's nothing more fun than reading the script every week, reading those, and then at the end of every single script is a long list of all the extra ones in case they need them. It's just the writers brainstorming ridiculous moments and listing them out. It's really cool.
And what's really fun also about the show is that you probably have seen this in a Walmart, in a Costco, a Sam's Club, the kind of things that you see in this show. And that's the part. Everyone can relate to this. And that's a key part, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I think the show, at risk of sounding like a company man here, I think the show really is very relatable to just about every kind of demographic there is. If you don't have experience and if you don't find familiarity and recognize these certain moments, then you haven't been, you just don't seem like, I don't know, you seem foreign to me. Like, everybody's been in one of these stores, and everybody can watch this show and say, oh, yeah, I get that. So that's definitely one of the main things that drew me to the show. It's what I love about it.
And most definitely, for sure, Ben. And the upcoming episodes, again, Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, you can watch NBC's Superstore. Upcoming episodes that we're looking forward to, some of the next couple episodes. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Got one. If you have not seen Superstore, you can go on demand, or you can go on Hulu, and you can binge all the rest of them. But tonight is actually our finale.
Uh-huh.
At 8 o'clock. So this is the one to watch, especially if you have a Nielsen box.
All right. Okay. So the finale. And so, can you give us a hint about the finale at all, Ben?
Yeah, it's pretty thematically. It's sort of a big thing for the average sitcom. I mean, they sort of tackle labor and workmen's rights, and it's a, you know, there's a whole giant thing that happens in that sort of corporate company world of Superstore, and everybody stands together, and there's a big cliffhanger for the end of the season. It's a really cool episode.
Well, I love the show. And I continue success for the show, and that's my hope is for sure. Because again, the characters are great. It's funny, and it's just so relatable. I mean, I was a professional wrestler, Ben, going down south, so I remember these stories all the time. Wrestling down south, it's just the characters that you meet
in
the store, for sure.
It's Americana. Yeah. We've got a crazy, entertaining country, I think, and that's what the show is.
Exactly. Best place we can find information on you, Ben. For yourself as well. Remember tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, the finale, NBC Superstore. But best place we can find info on you. Where can we go?
For me?
Yeah.
Google? I don't know.
Are you on Twitter? You're on Twitter, Ben, aren't you?
I am on Twitter. Who's Ben Feldman on Twitter, and Ben M. Feldman on Instagram.
All right. Well, fantastic. Anything else going on you want to promote? Or just remember to tune in tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, right?
Yeah, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, or, you know, watch it on demand later. Tell your friends. Let's get everyone behind this one.
We would definitely will, Ben. Thanks for calling, and best of luck. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, Ben. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back.